Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Happy 2024. OMGG, we are back with a new year. We made it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Can I just clap my hands? Because I don't know about you, but 22 and 23 have been the worst 2 years of life for me. Oh my God, when I say it's been hell is what it's been. But you guys know what to do right now. Share this podcast. Don't keep it to yourself. I am back. We will be here every Wednesday. There's a lot to talk about. Tell your friends, share it to Twitter, share it to Instagram, share it wherever you want to share it. Thank you guys who have sent me messages, checking up on me, seeing how I've been. Life was lifing. That's all I can say is that it was lifing. And I'm just glad to be on the other side of 23 because 24, it's got to get better. It's got to get better. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about credit. Y'all know I was talking about that and telling y'all about that. We're going to talk about family. I'm going to dive into that. You guys only heard me talk a little bit about that, but I'm going to dive into that. And we're going to talk about ancestry, because you guys know I did ancestry in 2020. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I'm just going to fill you in where I've been. So much has been happening with my businesses. Look at that. I can say businesses now because I have two businesses. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for that, because that's all to the glory of Him. It ain't got nothing to do with me, people. Nothing to do with me. It's all for His glory. And I just want y'all to know, let's just say this. So as 23 was closing out, the holidays are always a rough time for me, because people have their family, and when you don't have a support system, a family, and I won't say that I don't have a family, because I've built a village around me of people who are family. What I'm talking about is when you say biological family, that changes so many things. But as we rolled into Christmas of 2023, I was at peace for the first time in years. Peace. The peace that passes all understanding. If I tell you, having peace after years of being depressed, being hurt, shedding tears, or, and I don't want nobody to take this the wrong way, being at people's houses and not really being able to be yourself, not really being able to just relax, because, yeah, they're your circle. But it's not like being at your grandmother's house, where no matter what, you kick your shoes off, you could fall asleep, you could do all those things at grandmother's house. But when you're at somebody else's house, like if I was at my grandmother's house and I'm like, well, I'm not going home, I'm just going to stay here, you don't even have to ask. My grandmother would have been like, yeah, baby, here's a blanket, all of that. I got you. Anything else you need? But when you're at somebody else's house on a holiday, you gotta adjust. Hell, even for you just going to the bathroom, you don't know, Our bathrooms are our sanctuaries. So, this was the first time in a long time that I was on my own. And I had food, finances, everything. And I had just gotten back from my end of the year. You guys know I do a wine weekend. The third weekend of every year, I do a wine weekend where we go away. So we were off to Paso Robles in 2023. So came back after having an amazing trip. And I was in here with all my dang wine. I got wine everywhere, y'all. Everywhere. Y'all know how that goes. And I was able to lay in my bed and do nothing. Not have to get up and go anywhere. Not have to say, hey, I'm going to do this. I got food. So I had stopped and made sure I got food. I went to Costco. So I got me a good old rotisserie chicken. I had some mashed potatoes. And I was just good. Y'all hear me? I was good. And I laid in the bed and just had me time. I just rested and did some self-care. Because if you don't do self-care, it all continues to just build up. And that buildup inside of you is so, so detrimental to you being healthy. Because if you don't take care of you, who else will? So I rested and it was just amazing. And I was like, I think I had 4 days off. So that worked off perfectly, worked out perfectly. And I was just so at peace. And one of the other things that I was at peace about, that, or at least it helped me be at peace, my bank account was in zeros. And see, some of y'all don't know what it's like to be at Christmas, no family, financially, just zero. There's been Christmases where my bank account was overdrawn. And so just having a regular meal wasn't, you know, that was the only thing you come up with. Most times it was some kind of fast food something because I was in somebody else's house. And cooking wasn't an option like that. And just to keep it 100, I tried for years to build a relationship with my biological mother. And that would be the time that I would try to do something with her. And it was just a waste of time. Because I gave and didn't get what I needed out of the giving of the relationship. I didn't get what I needed. So being here in this space, which I moved in here in May of 2022. I moved to my own place. And May of 22, I was here the first couple of days. I had like 28 days. June 1st, I left to go to the academy to get my certification to become a school bus instructor. Came back from that. I think I was here maybe 2 more weeks or a little bit over a month, like something like that. And I was off to Curacao. I'm telling you, I was in the middle of one thing would just cover up the next, but I hadn't dealt with the hurt and the pain of the move and all the stuff that went along with the move. And so, boom, boom, boom. We came back Y'all, I went to bingo. I won $1,000 at bingo. And I always wanted a KitchenAid mixer. Always wanted it. So, bought that. Oh my God, I was buying all kind of stuff for the house, as I'm still doing. And time just kept going. I was starting classes at work, so I was working 6-7 days a week, and I was just boom, 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 move, 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 move. And what I was doing was guiding over everything. Skate past it. Let's not deal with it. So, midway through, must have been the start of 23. I was in a space, and I was out training, and I got a message. And it was on Facebook, and it was somebody telling me that we were related via ancestry. And I was like, okay. And me just automatically thinking it was the maternal side for mother, thinking that's where it was. And I was like, okay, I'll check the message. And then they left their number. And I was like, wow, oh, this person is serious. We really are related. Come to find out, it wasn't on my mother's side. It was actually on my father's side. So let me just change gears just a little bit right here. Just a little bit. So remember I said I did Ancestry in 2020. Ancestry came back while I was in Oregon. And Ancestry said that my father, who I was raised by, Arthur L. Jones, was not my father. DNA said, boom, bam, he's not your father. Now, I would have been devastated more, but I already knew. So back in my, must have been around, I was in my early 30s. I don't remember the years. I just remember I was living in my father's house in Oakland, California. And my mother came to my house after church. And she was telling me that she felt convicted. And she needed to tell me that she was unsure if my dad was my dad. I was in shock. Huh? What? Where did that happen at? So, okay. Fine. That's where that is. And then about a week later, she called me back. Yeah, he's your father. I don't know what I was talking about. He's your father. Well, maybe 2 years later, my dad came. And we were in a good space because my dad and I had a volatile relationship. So it just was just what it is, what it was. And he came and we were driving to go to one of his church, former church member's house. And I'm like, we're in a good space. I'm going to ask. So I asked him about what my mother said. And I started off here. I don't want to start an argument. I don't want us to be in a bad place. I just want answers. And his response was, I don't know why your mother brought that up, but the answer is correct. I know I was not your father, but I told her that I would raise you. So, y'all, I was driving, and you just have to play cool and keep driving. Because when you hear that the person that you thought was your father is not your father, I mean, what do you do? What do you do but get emotional? So, like I say, we were in a great place. Didn't lead to an argument or anything like that. I moseyed on, and then I began to process that. And I was like, you know what? It's fine. So, down the line, maybe 6-7 months later, had a conversation with her and just asked her about who the man was. She didn't remember. Boom. So we hit a wall. We hit a dead end. And I don't know why you're asking this, because he's your father. And I said, well, that's not true, because he told me out of his own mouth, because I asked him. And she was like, oh, that's not true, that's not true. And move on past her, because this is not about you, Mary March. Let me make that clear. It's not about you. This is not your moment. This is about me. So for those of y'all that keep listening and want to go back and tell, this is about Christopher Terrence Jones. So, as I was processing all of that, time came, and in 2013, my little brother, Robert Weaver, passed away, and it started a domino effect. So for 11 months, I lost 13 people that were really close to me. And as it ended up in that, almost at the year of Robert, my father passed. So just in a different space, continue processing that. And hey, boom, life's still life. And I'm in this ever winning struggle of just trying to stay afloat, just trying to stay above water. And every time that I get a halfway pull up, I get knocked down five more pegs. So processing on, moving on, trying to do everything, not thinking about this thing. Well, we got to, must have been the pandemic. My brother wanted to start a show, a talk show. I had already been doing the podcast, and he wanted to start a show. And I thought, I had seen the commercial for Ancestry, and they were offering this deal. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do it. This would be great to talk about on the show. Because I already knew that Arthur Jones was the man who raised me. He was my dad. He was my father, but he wasn't my biological father. So I already knew that answer. But here we go. In the back of my mind, you know, I pushed that, said, oh, that's not true. He is my father. You know, I'm believing what that is. So, right, I ordered the package and I had it in my house, and my aunt passed away. My Aunt Tiny, Geneva Mitchell. And I was like, this is my dad's baby sister. And that was devastating to me. And I was like, you know what? You need to know who you are. This chapter needs to have some type of closure. So I did the thing. Sent the DNA test off, and off to Oregon I went. And while I was in Oregon, working for one of our yards, life changed for me. Life changed for me. My eyes opened up to so many different things. I pushed past a lot of my fears and did stuff that I would never do. I did some experiences that I just won't ever forget. Well, we were going into, must have been 21 or the early part. Yeah, it must have been 21, the early part of 21. I got my stuff back from Ancestry. And, you know, you don't know what you're looking at. I'm playing around with it on my phone, and I'm sitting here looking, and I calls my cousin. I'm like, I don't understand this Ancestry thing. Send me a message. Let me see how this works. How does this go? And I'm like, okay, boom. And we all know that Ancestry is a moneymaker. That's all it is. In order for you to see trees, you got to consistently pay a monthly fee or pay this high exuberant price, which is to me a scam. If you're there to help people, help the people. Why am I paying monthly? What am I paying for? if you're really not going to give me any ideas. But that's another story. So I'm going through that. About 2 days later of going back and forth with my cousin, I finally get on from my laptop. And the first message I see from her on the side of it says, "You and blah, blah, blah are no relation." Wow. I'm like, okay, maybe I just don't understand this. Well, that's 100% true. Dana didn't lie. Dana came back and told the truth that he was not my father. And it was a little bloater. It was like a hit. But I already knew. So I was able to push on. So tried a little bit. And then I was like, I'm not going to keep paying for Ancestry because I'm really not getting anything out of this. I don't understand. So stopped paying. And once you stop paying, you don't see the trees. You don't see anything. You can only see the matches that they send you. Well, something had been in me to get back to... I don't know what the word is. Restarting this search of finding out who my dad is and finding my biological father. And I always said this. I've been very clear about this, and I knew this was something. I am not looking for a father to come in and all of a sudden we'd be best of friends and this is it. Every day we talk, because that's just not me. It's never been me. I just want to know who the person is. Because, like I told you guys, there's so many things. What if I have siblings? What if there was an affair? What if my mother had an affair with a married man? What if he's married now? Or, you know, so many things that can happen. People's emotions and all that. And I don't want anything from him. I'm not looking for anything. Because one of the things that my father said when he left this earth, before he left good, his last words was that all that God was going to do for me, he wasn't going to be around to see it, and that God was going to bless me and do for me. And once I graduated the academy, financially, my life totally changed. Totally changed. Most of you don't know, as school bus drivers, which was one of my lifelong dreams, was driving the bus. I loved it. It's my passion. It doesn't pay. People want you to do jobs. They want you to bend over backwards, but yet they don't want to pay you. So most school bus drivers are struggling. I've watched people die and GoFundMes. And before there was GoFundMes, we were putting together money because we just never make money. And so that had always been my story. Once I graduated from the academy and became an instructor, my story changed. Financially, I'm in a different space, different place, different tax bracket. Oh my God. The doors opened. And the money started coming. And at first, I just thought it was like, okay, this is okay. Boom. No. It's here to stay. All I've ever prayed for, all I've ever wanted. Yeah, we all want to be rich. If that door opened and God blessed me to be rich, yes, I would be happy. If I won the lottery, yes, we all would be happy. But all I've ever prayed for is I want to be able to live comfortably. I want to be able to eat whatever I want to eat and not have to bat an eyelash. I want to be able to not say that McDonald's is my only option. Cup of Noodles is my only option. Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, all these fast food places are my only option. And so when it used to be that, oh my God, $10 to $15 was my max, preferably 10. I was on the dollar menu. That's what I lived off of, was the dollar menu, because my finances didn't say that, because I always had to put gas in the car. I've always had all of these other things going on. Mind you, me having car troubles, all of that stuff going along with it. And I'm sitting here like, OMG. Why? So finances changed. And a little bit more spending money. A little bit more of a stretch. So I decided that I would go back. Now that I have the money, let's go in and start looking. So the other day, came across Ancestry again. Was trying to catch a deal. They'll never have the deal when you want it. But I went ahead and I paid something for 6 months. And then it's going to go to this astronomical fee after the 6 months. But I was just like, okay, I'm going to do this for 6 months. For 6 months, I'm going to give my all and put myself in this game and try to figure this thing out. So on the first day, I'm looking at the matches and I just called customer service. Said, I really don't understand. I need some help here. And they tell me, well, you're going to have to contact the people. I'm like, okay, here we go again. Here we go again. Lord have mercy. And she says, lady tells me, well, this person right here is your second cousin. And I'm like, huh? That means they're first cousins to your father. What? What'd you say? So, in the midst of all the matches, I now have somebody who is first cousins with my father. So, I send a message, and in the message, I'm just basically saying, hi, I was talking with the lady here at Ancestry, and they told me that you would be first cousin with my father, who I don't know who it is. Now, mind you me, this is Ancestry. You're on here because you're looking for your family, right? That's what we all think Ancestry is about. The person comes back with the nastiest response of life. Who is your daddy? Who is your mother? Who are your siblings? And I'm like, well, I don't have any siblings that I know of. And I don't know who my father is. And my mother, she's Mary March. Boom. What does that matter? What does that matter? It doesn't. And the response was just so, it was so much that, you know, I told you guys, I'm all about peace. And anything that disturbs my peace, I have to move away from. So I responded back to the person and I was like, look, it seems like I'm disturbing you and I don't want to do that. So you have a good day. And there was no response back. And that's the thing is, we're on Ancestry to find our family. If you see that you and I are some type of match, that means we're family. I didn't ask you for a dime. I didn't ask you for anything. I'm just trying to figure out who is the person that is my biological father. So my prayer now is, because like I say, here's the real deal. He could be deceased at this point, because 70s, 80s, that's where my parents are. So my dad would be 80 now, something, let's see, 70. 40, 50, 60, 70, 8, 9, 20, 22. Yeah. Whew, Lord. It's going to be 10 years. It's really going to be 10 years that my dad has been gone. I didn't even just thought about that right there. That, whoa. Whew, that's a lot. That's a lot to process too. So I don't have energy for the shenanigans. So my prayer is, God, please let ancestry do what it's supposed to do and let me meet the person that is my father, or a sibling, or a direct cousin that knows who my father is, and there's this opportunity for us just to meet. And we don't have to meet in person. You know, we got FaceTime, blah, 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 all of that stuff. I'm cool with it. We can go there. I just want to know who the man is. That's all I'm asking for. And you guys heard me say earlier, this is not about my mother. She can be in her feelings about everything. But what parents need to remember, I didn't ask to come here. I was the child in the situation. You were the adults. So don't be mad if it didn't turn out the way that you wanted it. And don't be mad at my reaction for something that affects my life. So I can't care about your feelings, because the feeling of emptiness, the feeling of loneliness that I've had all of these years. And here's the other thing. I've said this.
I'm not sure I understand.
And my mother has heard me remind her of this. When I was about 8 or 10, I asked her if my dad was my father. I will never forget that. I will never forget that. We were in Livermore, and she was laying in her bed, and I went into her room, and I knew by the way that he treated me, I was not his child. See, you gotta understand, children know when there's something going on. They knew, and I knew. And she's like, what are you talking about? But I guess at that point she had forgotten too that she had been with somebody else. And the thing is, once I became an adult, once I became a teenager, you miss that moment to try to clear this up, where my feelings wouldn't be involved. If I was a kid, you know, you don't know no better as a kid. Oh, he's not my father? Okay. And you don't process that until you get to be an adult. But I was already an adult, and I had friends. So when I'm sitting talking with my friends, they're looking at me like, wow. And of course, you know, peer pressure. How could your mother do that to you? Wow, why would she do that? My mother would never do that. And here I'm looking at my friends. Their mother is there for them in every way, always supportive, always doing that. And that's not my story. It's not my story with my father. That wasn't my story. But on his part, now you can see why. I really wasn't his. But he agreed to raise me. So once we got to the point where they weren't together anymore, technically, I'm not his responsibility. So why should he do anything for me? Why? So, I don't know where we're going to end up with ancestry. I don't know what road we're going to go down. Is it going to work or is it not going to work? But I do know this. At the end of this 6 months, February, March, April, May, June, July, ancestry won't be getting another dime from me if I haven't figured it out by July. Then, unless they get on and pay that monthly, which it just probably won't happen. But I've been done such a disservice by my parent, by my mother, because it wasn't my dad's fault. I can't. He played a part in it, but he's also not here. So there is no blame game. But you were the one who brought it up. This is one of the things that I said. If you did not want to have the full story come out, then you should have took it to your grave. That's what should have happened. It should have went to your grave and never told me about it. So, but that wasn't, my mother and I have always had a volatile relationship. So that wasn't, this wasn't the start of it, but this kind of sealed it. And then there were some other things that just happened in the last couple of years that just, I'm done. I'm secure in being done. I'm done. And that's all I can say about it. I've moved on. I'm at peace. I thank God for a roof over my head. I thank God for a job that can sustain and make sure that I keep a roof over my head as long as I go to work. I will survive unless God has other plans. I thank God for a job that now solidifies that I will continue to be able to survive with the new position. Just, it's all about what God has done for me. And that is been nothing but amazing. And so this year, my cousin wanted to do Cousin's Day on my dad's side. So was first, they were starting that, her and her husband, one of them coming to Pew, they had cousins night. So went up, and as I was going up to drive up, was driving up, and I remembered this song in my, it was just in my spirit. It had been in my spirit. And I was like, oh my God, I really want to hear this song. And so I started looking around and I couldn't find it. And I was like, oh shoot, it's not on Apple Music. It's not here. It's not here. And I was like, come on, you got to be here. And I was listening to it by somebody else. And I was like, no, I really want to hear it. And it's a song by Reverend Lawrence Thompson and the Music City Mass Choir. And the song is called There's Something About That Name. I was listening to that as I was driving to my cousin's house. And the tears just began to flow. I was so, I mean, just, oh my God, it was so, I had to pull myself to get into my cousin's house, because when you think about everything that you've been through, and you just start calling on the name of Jesus, and you think about everything else around you will fail, but God will always be there. And then I started listening to You've Been Good. And I was just sitting like, looking back over my life, You've Been Good. And then I went back to There's Something About That Name. And I call Him Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. And being at peace where I am, and knowing all that I have been through, it just passed away because God had me. I just hadn't reached the appointed time and the appointed place where I was supposed to be. It wasn't my time. I had to go through some things and a lot of hurts in order to get to where I am, for me to understand that God has been good to me. Because we see the little kids get up and they sing these songs in church, but until you really have a testimony, until you really have been through something. And my coworker was telling me, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Da, 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 da. She could see all this. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see anything, y'all, because I was so stuck with where I was at that moment. And I was just like, okay, hey, this ain't getting better. It's just getting worse. I don't know what's going on. This is what I'm going to do for the time being. And boom. So when I was driving and all that began to just flash back before my eyes, God, You've been good to me. And then turn around and say, there's just something about that name, because I called on God so many times. And sometimes I felt like He had left me. Sometimes I felt all alone, and I would just say, God, why are You allowing this to happen? Why this? Why me? When do I catch a break? When does it change? It wasn't my time. It wasn't my time. And we have to accept that when it's not our time, we got to be all right where we are. If we're treading water, we just got to tread the water and hold on, because our time is coming. It's just not right at that moment. Hell, it wasn't for years. And I treaded and I treaded and I treaded and I treaded. And a lot of times I just felt like I was drowning. And when you feel like you just have reached the end, that's when you ride up the brink of a major miracle. God is about to really do something. And right when I just was at the break and I couldn't do anymore, I had no more in me. There was nothing left in me. God said, Let me show you who I am and remind you that I got you. He gave me an apartment. No money down, no credit check. Just move in. He gave me a roof over my head, y'all. Y'all see, I've always said, my God, stuff happens to people. I've never had anything like that happen to me. Well, that's not my story anymore. I moved right out of where I was into my own space. Didn't have to go into anybody else's house because y'all don't know. For years. Homeless is what I've been. From one person's couch to this person's floor to another person's couch to sleeping in my car to sleeping in my job. This has been my cycle since I was 16. When my mother put me out behind a man. And I told y'all, this is for me. This is for me. It's not for anybody else. This is for me. So if anybody else gets offended, because it's my story. It's my truth. They can play it any other kind of way they want. But it's mine. I was 16 when my mother put me out. I wasn't even old enough to get an apartment. At 16, I moved in with an amazing woman named Gloria Grant, who had four daughters. I had just met one of her daughters. I was 16. And I was sitting there crying. Because I didn't have nowhere to go. And her mother was like, yeah, you do. You're not going to be homeless. You can come live here. God sent that vessel to carry me over the next. Because I was 16 when my mother put me out. And like I say, I couldn't get an apartment. Barely could get a job. But my mother chose a man over me. And when a mother does something like that to you, it's very rare that anybody else can hurt you. It's very rare. People tried to do stuff to me, but I didn't care. It didn't matter to me. I stayed with Gloria Grant. And I ended up moving back to Texas, went and finished school, came back. My dad got an apartment for me, and I was living in my apartment, got a job, driving the bus, doing all of that, singing, doing theater, traveling, doing all of that. And life just started going. And just going different directions. Just trying to stay afloat. Just trying to make it in the world. One day you have a good day. Next day you have a bad day. One day you have another good day. The next 4 days you have another bad day. And I was just surviving. And all of that to get me to the chapter that I'm on now. The road that I'm on now, I have to go down this road by myself. Because it's my journey. It's nobody else's, but it's mine. And dating, here's that. met some people that I thought we were going to be together. Oh, wow, perfect person. This is going to work. But there is no perfect person. And there is no perfect relationship. There is no perfect anything but God. He's the only perfect one out there. He's the only one that is always going to be there for you, no matter what. Always going to be there for you. And so I just made the journey on and said, hey, you know what? At this point, I'm over dating. I'm tired of trying to get to know people, and people look at you and what do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? They automatically want something. Nobody just wants to date, get to know each other. And y'all, we're in this season where the other states are killing California right now with people being in relationships. I'm watching, oh my God, they're having amazing relationship goals, amazing relationships that are leading to marriage and all of this. My ex is now married. Two of my exes are now married. Matter of fact, let's just say that. Two of them are now married. And I'm just like, wow. But part of it was I had a lot of baggage. So even though I was doing what I needed to do to be in the relationship with them, I still had walls because I didn't trust. Because my trust was broken when my mother let me down. So I couldn't give 100%. Nobody got 100% of me. They only got half. So that doesn't make for a good mixture of relationships. Whew, you just go with the flow. And so I've decided that as we got ready to go into 23, I mean, coming out of 23, going into 24, I'm fine where I am right now. I'm at peace. I don't need anything to disturb my peace. And being by myself is just where it is. We all would love to be in a relationship, but I don't have the energy to put up with some of the stuff that happens in a relationship that I watch some of y'all put up with. I just can't do it. The shenanigans is too much. And then I look at people, they argue, and then they got to lay down next to that person. I can't lay down next to you and we've been arguing. No, I'm good. Go away. Just please go away. So that chapter of my life for right now is closed. I'm good. I'm all right with going out on a date here every now and then. And, you know, dreaming. Dream on, dream away. I think I'm gonna have to stay forever. No, I'm not gonna stay forever. Right. So, just like, oh my. I'm just that space. Dating, we'll go out, dinner, fine. And then I'm going to keep it moving because I'm not ready for any extra drama. No way, no how. 2024 is here. 22 and 23 were rough. Life altering, life changing, an emotional roller coaster. But I'm like Sealy. I may be black. I may even be ugly. Ha ha! But thank God I'm here. Ah! That's where I'm at. I thank God I'm here. Because I've lost so many people. Tomorrow is not promised. Please hear me when I say this. Stop living your life in a box. Stop living for other people. Stop letting others dictate your lives. Tomorrow is not promised. You could wake up tomorrow and be in a coma. You could not wake up tomorrow. You could wake up tomorrow and have an accident. You could wake up tomorrow and find the person that you think is going to be the love of your life, and then you run from them and hide from them, and then they're gone. Live your life. Put God first in everything that you do. But live your life. Yes, the church is in a bad place right now. It's in a bad place. It's in a bad, bad, bad place. And the pastors are not helping. It just gets worse and worse because they've put self before God. They've taken God out of the equation and put self, because the pastors are it now. And it's not about God anymore. I pray that 2024 brings peace to you. That's my prayer for you, for me, is that we continue to be in a space where peace always abounds. It never fails. I'm happy. How many people can truly say that you are happy? That you're in a space where you're happy? Good space with my cousins. I'm real bad about calling folks. It's one of those things that I'm really, 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 really bad about. And I have one uncle and one aunt left on my dad's side. Just bad, y'all. I love my aunt. I love my uncle. When you have crazy days at work and you just come home, it's hard to return phone calls. I try. I really do. But it just really ain't my thing, because so many other emotional things that I'm dealing with make it hard. And trust me, I love them. I love them. And I gotta get better. I owe some of y'all some phone calls right now, because I have messages. I got text messages. I tried to go through and get caught up with all of my text messages from 2023 before the year ended, and I tried to respond for that. And then I just responded today to try to catch up on all of my messages regarding New Year's. So, as I close out, Happy New Year's to you. Find the thing that gives you peace. Find the space that gives you peace. Find God that will give you peace that passes all understanding. And I promise you, once He gives you peace, no man can take it away unless you allow them to. Unless you allow them in that space. No man can take away anything that God has given you. What God has for you is for you. Blessings upon blessings upon blessings He wants you to have and to not be without. It's your boy Christopher Terrence Jones. I'm back. 2024. Let's do this. Peace.